event. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to all the volunteers at Assumption who helped put this on so the rest of us can enjoy ourselves.
Sure, it wouldn't be possible without our families and our volunteers. And as long as we're handing out thank yous, you know, I tell people as often as I can what a gem WFHR is, and we're lucky to have this community, to have a radio station that supports it the way that it does, that you have a forum like this that we can come on and tell people about our events and that sort of thing. So we certainly appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'll see you at the Royal event, and we'll be listening to this.
Got out of town on a boat for the Southern Islands.
And that's going to do it for part one of today's edition of the Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, is brought to you by Comfort Air.
For the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papa Cape off the wind.
Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing has been your Bryant dealer serving central Wisconsin since 1999, specializing in installation, maintenance, and repair of all types of heating, cooling, and ventilation equipment for both residential and commercial. Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing has certified technicians that work on all makes and models. We are fully insured and a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited business. Stop in at our showroom today, 880 Highway 73 South, or check us out online, comfortair.biz. Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, whatever it takes.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we're going to be seeing the skies cloudy with our winds out of the west 5 to 15, and our highs will be reaching into the upper 60s. Tonight, cloudy skies with some isolated storms developing through the overnight. Northeast winds 5 to 10, and our lows will be in the mid-50s. And then on Saturday, we'll see cloudy skies with isolated storms. Southeast winds 5 to 15, and our highs will be approaching 80. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
And again, the active period they're really concerned about Saturday night and especially into Sunday. So, and it's going to be windy on Sunday. Well, gust to 28 miles an hour and a 70% chance of thunderstorms, some of which might be on the strong side. Right now, we have some clouds and a little fog in the area after that nice soaking rain overnight. It's 51 in Wausau, 53 in Point, 56 in Marshfield, and 57 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. And today, our topic is the pros and cons of investing in private equity. With that, we welcome our investment professor, Pete Bry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Well, we're going to learn a new term, private equity. People hear these terms and they hear about it in the news, and they might wonder, what are they talking about? Are we talking stocks, bonds, or something else, or a hybrid, or whatever? So I guess we should probably just begin with the basics.
Yep, I totally agree. So equity basically always means ownership. And the subdivision of that would be public equity, which is pretty much you own individual stocks or mutual funds, things that are a pro rata interest ownership in that particular entity. They trade so that there's liquidity if you want to get in and out every hour, every day, every week, that gives you the ability to be an owner, but yet have the ability to get out, all right? So the other part of equity in the ownership, it would be what's known as private equity. So private equity basically is the ownership in things that aren't publicly traded, to start with a very generic. Things like partnerships, all right, real estate partnership. So X number of people get together, they throw some money in, they buy an apartment complex, and they own that, and they own the revenue streams, they are responsible for the expenses. So it goes from there, it goes to individual businesses that people want to start up, the whole entrepreneurial thing that, you know, is right now, again, pretty much a very big topic in the financial media, things like Uber and Lyft and the cab business, and a variety of things going on in Silicon Valley and things like that, which are the ones with huge valuations and sex appeal and
right.
things like that. So it's very simple. If it's if you can sell it on a marketplace that's public, if you can't, that's private.
Okay. How does this relate to some of these new websites that have been on where people are trying to raise funds?
It kind of lines up exactly in that that is a modern day social media mechanism for people, instead of in the old way of doing this, a guy would get an idea, a woman get an idea, she or he didn't have enough finances to really get it up and rolling, so in exchange for not having 100% ownership of this idea, they would trade, or they would trade out money for part of the ownership. And so in the old days, it was pretty much, if I had a deal, I'm going to look you in the eye and make a presentation, and I'm going to look at Joe Smith and John Doe and all these people. So it was a more of a, I'll send you the material, neither verbally communicating and making a presentation or face to face. Now, with this latest trend, what it does is that obviously it greatly enhances the potential people that you that might invest in it, because anyone who stays in, up to date on these particular sites, excuse me, will have the opportunity to see what the specific private equity deal is. And so what it's done is greatly enhanced the ability to raise money, but also you know, who, what's really going on in the other end of that transaction. I mean, is it a legitimate thing? Is it made to sound like it's a great thing, and basically you're funding his you know, trip to some tropical isle for the rest of his life and things like that. So, you know, it all this comes with certain trade-offs.
The reason why I asked that, shortly after our pre-show meeting the other day, I was listening to CBS during the news, and during the break, they had an ad for one of these sites. They had some actors portraying business people, or saying, "I got my funding through," or "I got, you know, if you're looking for, if you got a great idea, blah blah blah." And I'm going, "Wow, that sounds interesting." So I thought I would ask you about that. So there are, you got to be careful if you're dealing with those types of.
Yeah, you know, you also have to be careful. I mean, just in fairness, there's many guys that look the guy across the aisle in the eye, and you know, he was a fraud too. So, you know, that kind of goes back to kind of the checklist of some of the things you need to consider when making a decision to get into private equity.
Well, that gets into pros and cons of this type of investment.
Yeah.
And there's pros and cons with any type of an investment, but what about with specifically to private equity?
Yeah. Well, I think before we just dive into there, let's talk a little bit about the elements
sure.
that one could consider, and from there the pros and cons become logical.
Sure.
So, you know, there's some fundamental things. I've been doing personally these kind of deals since the 80s.
Okay.
And fortunately, more have been good than bad. But, you know, having had a lot of experience in this particular thing, you know, there's kind of a personal checklist that I maintain. And the first thing is to look at what you're getting into, all right? Obviously, real estate, you know, all right, what is it? Is it 8 units? Is it a shopping mall? Is it a hotel? Is it, you know, what
right.
other things? So then, so is that a gauge of, is this a good thing? Is it unique? Is it in a strategic location? You know, what gives this advantage in your mind or the person doing the deal that it's going to be successful? All right. Because, mm-hmm. you know, things like restaurants, all right, very much a hit or miss thing. You know, it's a tough business. A lot of variables there. Some you control, some you don't. So, Certain, and that's the most one that comes to mind. You know, there's a million of them. What's going to make this different?
Right.
Whereas a bank, a new bank, even though there's a million banks, somehow banks all seem to make money and things. So in everyday common investments, what differentiates? You know, why do you think you have to figure out why this would be a good deal? Just not because your buddy's running it or things like that. What are the strategic,
does it make business sense?
Yeah. What are the strategic advantages?
Mm-hmm.
Then the other part is investments that potentially are game changers.
Okay.
Right? So, for example, I'm in a water purification private equity deal. All right.
Right.
Well, obviously, we can hardly pick up a paper these days that water is not an issue.
Oh, it's a major. Either, it's the new oil, they call it.
Correct. So either, you know, there's not enough of it, i.e. California,
mm-hmm.
or there is enough of it, you just can't do anything with it because of pollution, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, in a particular deal like this and in deals that so commonly come out of Silicon Valley, it's a new technology, it's a new way of doing something, and it's pertinent to, you know, problems not only nationally but worldwide and things. So, you know, looking at particular situations whereby this is a unique, all right, you're bringing
right.
to something that could be a game changer, and these are the ones that you look for potential grand slam home runs in terms of returns on investment, all right? Because if you do have a game changer, for instance, this particular deal I'm involved is that the EPA has come out and said, all right, this is one of the most effective water purification techniques in the that we're aware of, and you know,
okay.
we endorse it, all right? Well, you know, so basically, if you look at this week, there was a merger between Danaher, a water-related company, and Paul, a water-related company, where Danaher's buying Paul up for $14
billion. Well,
so,
okay.
you know, obviously, those kind of things, and given an effective, is really good, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But that leads to probably the most important consideration, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it's sports teams, businesses, organizations, nonprofit, for-profit, it always comes down to management.
Mm-hmm.
Who's driving the car, all right? Who's the guy who's going to be in charge, be a decision maker? What is that process? Because not all people, obviously, are created equal. So probably the most important consideration for me, and I think for people in general, should be who is this person? What is his track record in this particular area? What type of financial Rolodex does he have? All right. And what is his ability to take this idea and bring it to fruition. Because a lot of people have great ideas.
But they don't know how to get it to the market.
A, they don't know how to get it to the market. B, they don't have the experience. Because when you start something up, you know, traditionally the person has a game plan, all right?
He's got, right.
You know, a business plan, I guess is what I would call it. And from that business plan, you know, this is how he's going to do it. Well, more times than not, this person, and this is common in almost all private equity deals, they don't know what they don't know, which is obviously means you have to have the ability to think on your feet. And so track records where guys have been there, done that, once or twice obviously increases your confidence and your ability that you're going to make some money.
Okay. Well, we got some more. We're going to talk a little bit more about pros and cons, but we're learning about the world of private equity here on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
High School Sports at AM 1320 WFHR is proudly brought to you by Solaris, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, V6 Country Store, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Ministry Healthcare, Nash Law Group, 8th Street Auto, Paper City Savings, Renaissance Learning, Marshfield Clinic, and for Assumption High School Sports, Brazo, La Chapelle, Kreshok, and Edesheim, Homestead Golf, and for Lincoln High School Sports, Tim Hintz Automotive. The best coverage of high school sports is right here on AM 1320 WFHR and WFHR.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we're going to be seeing the skies cloudy with our winds out of the west 5 to 15, and our highs will be reaching into the upper 60s. Tonight, cloudy skies with some isolated storms developing through the overnight. Northeast winds 5 to 10, and our lows will be in the mid-50s. And then on Saturday, we'll see cloudy skies with isolated storms. Southeast winds 5 to 15, and our highs will be approaching 80. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Clouds and 57 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, you can reach your local financial investment professionals at 715-422-0700. Today's topic has been the pros and cons of investing in private equity. And let's get specifically into those pros and cons. But you said you've been involved in it. You know what this business is. So give us examples of, positives and negatives, or things that people sometimes make mistakes with.
Right. I'd be glad to. So the first advantage is that these opportunities are usually only limited to a certain number of either people or dollars. So, you know, they might be, all right, we're raising $500,000. You know, that probably means there's anywhere from 10 to 50 people. Because it's a startup, because it's basically at that point have no financial statements, they just have a concept, they just have some pro forma, which we're, what they're projecting they think they can do with this. They've got timelines. So, you know, the first advantage is basically being able to get in on the very beginning when hopefully the valuation is about as cheap as it's going to get, because, again, a guy can't sell a business for $100 billion out of the chute, or $1 billion there, or even $1 million sometime, depending on the scope of the investment. So it gives you an opportunity to get in and be that elite group that gets in. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the Silicon Valley, is there's so much money out there, and those guys always get the first opportunity to get into a new concept and things.
What usually, when we're talking about these kind of investments, what's usually minimum amounts that you
You know, it varies all over the board. You know, in the early days, I think when I did a couple real estate deals, it might have been like $5,000 or $10,000 and things like that. Some of the deals now, you know, if you keep track and you look at the Uber deal or some of those deals that are going, I would guess at this point, because of the hype, because of the track record of that, it might be as little. I mean, the minimums may be $1 million, $5 million,
wow.
$10 million. So, you know, it obviously varies with the, you know, the evaluation of how much upside is there, where, you know, we talked earlier about the restaurant versus, you know, the Uber.
Right.
The new, where Uber can go to the world is, and they've changing the whole business model for transportation, in particular cabs. You know, that just by definition, by thinking it through, is going to have much more upside.
Okay. So, given that, what are some cons or what are some mistakes people make or things people need to be aware of?
Well, I think that the first thing they need to be aware of is it comes from the lack of liquidity.
Okay.
Because you can't readily, and sometimes by the operating groups, you might not be able to sell it to anybody other than the guy who's the general partner or owner or driver of the deal, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing and a bad thing, again, depending on what's going on with the investment. If, in fact, the investment is bleeding red, i.e. losing money, you know it's losing money. Your gut tells you, this isn't going to be good. You have no one to sell it to. So,
right.
Whereas in the publicly traded stock market, if your stock's at 20 and all of a sudden they have a bad announcement that their leading client or company that they sell to is dropping them, mm-hmm. all right, the stock may go down $4 a day or, 20% or some outrageous, but you have the ability to get out somewhere in there and take what's left and move on.
Right.
In this particular case, if it's going south, you're pretty much going to get none of your money back. So you've got to be understanding that this is one of the highest risk type investments going in. So you don't put 100% of your money in
right.
something like this because the failure rate is much greater than the success rate. And so that particular thing is the one number one thing you need to go in, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, the risk kind of to come off a bunch of things, you know. Changes in government regulation can be a oh-my-God moment.
Oh, sure.
It can be good for you. It can be bad for you. We were in basically an animal feed startup whereby they didn't use antibiotics, which obviously,
the so-called organic.
The naysayers of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had government regulation all over the board, so some was good, some was bad, and stuff like that, but it impeded the progress of ramping it up, all right? You've got essentially, the manager turns out to be incompetent. And so, he had an idea because there's a big difference between having a really good idea and having the ability to manage it, mm-hmm. make the right decisions, hire the right people, know when to have to raise more money and all those things. That having the ability to come up with great ideas is not always in compatibility with being able to manage it. And that's why, the management is such a key part.
I was going to say, that should be something that you need to pay big attention to as the management team. This guy, this guy's a genius, but he's not a business person. He's an inventor.
Correct.
And now he's hired these guys to bring it to the market. What's their experience?
Right.
What's their track record?
Right. And that's the vetting process that is the number one thing before you start going into it and things. The other thing that unfortunately happens is that when things are going south, it's usually because you're running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And most of these fail because not necessarily the concept's wrong, but for circumstances that maybe have nothing to do with the concept. For example, and if you had made a startup decision in, say, 2007 or 8,
mm-hmm.
and the world was ending, as we've talked about many times on this show, it wasn't that your concept was bad. It wasn't that things weren't going all right. It was, at this stage of life, putting your money in a can of and burying it in your backyard might be a more better way for the individual investor to sleep at night. And so sometimes there's those external things that it's just bad timing. And what tends to happen in those cases is the first set of equity owners usually lose all their money.
Mm-hmm.
And someone picks it up for cents on the dollar, and the next thing you know, X number of years later, it's going public for billions of dollars. You know? So it's a slippery slope, and there's a lot of things. But having been in, I was in the Great Wolf Hotel, the water park hotel concept.
Okay.
And, we took that and went from private equity and took it public. And obviously that was a great thing. Because when you go public, then that whole liquidity thing disappears.
Right, right.
So then the decision is down on your lap of, when do I get out? What do I take some profits? Do I let it run? And things like that. So, several of the real estate deals, especially the ones that aren't highly levered, in other words, the ones that put very little down in equity and have a lot in debt, because if you're reliant on someone to rent from you or to show up at your hotel, you have ebbs and flows, and
right.
sometimes the year are not as cash flow positive as others. So, there's all in each of these. There's a little subset of different parameters, and that's why the other part of is usually there's some kind of projections of what revenues and expenses and profits are over maybe as little as a 5-year period of time. And it's not that those projections are the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but you have to assess the assumptions that got them to those numbers and decide how viable those assumptions are. Because, if someone came in and said in Wisconsin Rapids, I think this restaurant's going to do $5 million a year, I would guess that there might be some skeptics.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So you'd want to see what is going to differentiate them to be able to get to that.
And right.
if the assumptions are sound and the management's good, you're more apt to say, yeah, I'll go for this. Versus $5 million, there's no way he can do it, and he's got all this debt, so he's probably got 6 months, 1 year, 2 years of window that he's got to make it, otherwise the bank's going
to
own it.
Well, you also, I would think, have to look at the type of business. Using your example of a restaurant, the National Restaurant Association has said, that's one of the fastest closing businesses on the planet. Most restaurants close within 6 months of opening after, because it's such a high-risk business. People don't like your food. It doesn't matter how much marketing you do. You're done.
No, and they're, like I said before on that topic, externally, you may recall, and this has been a while ago, Pedro's was a really popular Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It started in Madison.
Right.
Fuzzy Thurston and Bill Martini, and so when they passed on, my friend Jim Martini took over. He opens a place in Wausau. It's doing great. And then the chef comes down with a case of hepatitis C, and maybe not as good.
No. Bottom line, this is not the type of investment for everybody. It's a very high-risk, special type of investing, and you better have the guts for it.
Well,
and
one, you better have the guts.
Wherefore.
Yeah, I think you have to have a relatively high net worth. You have to use money that you don't think you're going to need for X number of years down the road. And quite frankly, to run it by your financial, your accountants, your lawyers, those type of people who, tend to be a little conservative on there, but at